Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have a new friend in the studio today. Please help me welcome Brandon Mullen, founder of Socially Acceptable.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I probably should have said your name ahead of time before we went on air to make sure I got it correct. But I don't think I can botch up Brandon Mullen.
You got it right. Some people say Mulan, but you got it right.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. I mean, it was 50-50 opportunity. So welcome to the studio. We talked before we came on air about your introduction to Business Radio X. You reached out to our friends in Atlanta and they said, well, guess what? We've got somebody in your neck of the woods here in Arizona. But if I understand correctly, your business is really all over the country. You're helping entrepreneurs everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I have a book called Entrepreneurship for the Cool Kids. And what it really does is it starts entrepreneur education at level zero and then takes you to level one, two, and three. I think a lot of entrepreneur education today is starting way too high. And this really hits people who are just a person in their house, their garage, their apartment. What do they do? And it really talks about how it's really up to you and how you can mold yourself into the person who can do what you need to do.
I want to be a cool kid. I love that title. How did you come up with that title?
Well, it's got a couple meanings. I kind of use cool kid as a slang for kind of in the know or mainstream. And I'm saying that entrepreneurship, especially this kind of education, should be pulled more into the know. You know, and then you can see on the book, I've got entrepreneurship crossed out and I've got self-discovery. So
love
I'm kind of saying, hey, the first couple steps are about you understanding you.
Yeah,
you know,
I would agree.
Just you doing it and figuring out yourself.
Very good.
So, yeah.
And the book then, does it appeal to somebody who has an idea and they think they might want to go into business for themselves? Or, I mean, are there different points of entry that I should just not answer it for myself. Who is the book for? A little bit more, crystallize a little bit more for us.
It's for the person who kind of has that spark of an idea, that spark of motivation, but they really don't know where to start, and maybe the information they're getting is a little over their heads, which is understandable. And it's just someone who's looking like, how can I go from just an employee, just a person in this mindset, you know, you went to college or whatever, got a job, and then this isn't for me anymore. Like, where is the beginning step? That's exactly for who it's for.
So you can come into this opportunity to read the book and interact with it, either with an idea or I don't have a clue, but I want to get out of my cubicle or I want to get out of my current position where I'm working for the man, that kind of thing.
And it's not a book you have to read straight through. It's a reference book where you can just look up answers.
And the page that you're showing me is beautiful. It has that feeling of fun and lightness as opposed to heavy, heavy book reading.
Right, right. You don't have to read it straight through. And the table of contents is actually set up as a reference. So you just look, find the problem you're having, and you just flip to that page number, and you just read, and it hopefully will give you advice.
Wonderful. Now, I think I remember you mentioning that you are not only sharing and promoting this book here in the States, but also worldwide. Speak to that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So this is a crazy Twitter story. So I was just on Twitter, and I don't have a lot of followers, but I was using it properly. I was hashtagging, and I met a woman in Israel who teaches entrepreneurship for kids. And she said, we started talking, we started emailing, we got along great. I said, can I send you a book? So I ship a book over to Israel. She loved the book. She puts it on Twitter. She takes a picture of herself, puts it on Twitter. A rural youth leader in Cameroon, Africa, contacts me about using the book. He said, we're just trying to get our village going and we need, we're trying to get young people into something. And can you ship us some books? And I said, well, let me fundraise to ship you 10 books. So I did, and it worked. I did a GoFundMe, and I got 10 books over to Cameroon, Africa. This was last week, so they should be there any
Wonderful.
Day now.
Wonderful, yeah.
And we're going to start to write curriculum based off the book for all these people in Cameroon, Africa.
Isn't that interesting? Because of how fun the title of your book is, it lends itself not only to the entrepreneur, well, the wannabe entrepreneur, someone who doesn't even know where to start at any age, but also people who are like, oh, we got to start this conversation with children.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
And
and international as well.
Yeah. They're all kind of in their late teens over there. And they're looking for something to do, and they message me on Facebook and they say, we want to retail shoes. We want to make movies. Where do we start? And I'm just kind of feeding them this information, and a lot of motivated people across the world who want to come up and do things.
I love that. So when you land in the studio, mention that you're a writer, and clearly you are that, but tell us your background. Have you always been a writer, and what have you done to have become this person that we can look to towards information around entrepreneurship?
Well, I kind of had a weird life story. I'm from this small town in Iowa, and I knew since I was 17, I was going to create my own products and sell them.
Since 17?
Since I was 17. I'm 35 now. But here's the thing. I had no idea what to do. I had no idea where to start, because I was in Iowa and everyone's like in trucking or manufacturing or farming, and they're looking at me like an outcast.
Right.
So I just start to do it literally in my room. I start to write. I just, and then I kind of live two paths of lives. I kind of like, I got to get out of Iowa. I got to make something happen for myself, but I got to keep the creative stuff alive. So I just took a lot of risk. The first thing I did was I worked, and then I went to massage therapy school, and people were like, why would you go there? And here's the thing. I could go there and I could make money and I could pay off the debt and I could get to the next level. Mm. So that made me move here. So then I moved here, and then I was doing creative stuff here. And then I went into real estate, like, because it gave me more freedom. I learned sales. I learned marketing. I met a lot of connections who are now donating to the things I'm doing. Then I went into real estate, and then this started to take off. And then when I went into real estate, I quit, and because this was taking off.
You really are the entrepreneur. You are the guy to go to say, how do you make this happen?
Yeah. If you look at how to do something, there's these stair steps that we do. We work in our job to make the money, but then we got to work at night to get our business going. And then maybe we got to do something else. And maybe we got to do something else. It's just all a big stair step to get where we want to go. And that's my message, is it's not, you don't need to start at level 7. Just go from level 0 to level 1 and then to 2 and then to 3. And it'll work.
Little incremental steps, right?
Yep.
You're reminding me of a gentleman who was on one of our shows previously. He owns McAllister's Deli in Tempe. And his name is Preet. Become a friend, a dear friend of mine. And I remember when we were talking, I think McAllister's Deli had only been open a couple months, and it's a franchise. And I believe he had worked for, he was an IT and engineer previous, so I won't name the company, but he worked for a big company and he was set. And he had that spirit in him while having a family that he wanted to be in business for himself. He saw too much of his money going to the larger company and not having enough autonomy and ability to be creative, to your point. And so to hear him talk was kind of neat, because he, like you described, he knew he financially had to put himself in a couple of different positions, and in a different way than you've described, took some risks to step out and say, okay, we're ready to do this as a family and we're going to have to make some sacrifices. But it's just fascinating to me, and why I love doing Business Radio X so much, that everybody has a story. Yours sounds like you've been, even at an early age, knowing that you were, did you know that you were going to be a teacher for these kinds of things?
No.
No?
No, that came later. That came when I would do kind of lunch and learns in real estate, and someone's like, you should really just teach this stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm a writer over here. They're telling me to teach over here. Bring it together.
I just put my hands together in a studio like this, you know, beautiful tapestry that came together. I was making an assumption that you knew. Maybe that's because I'm a teacher in my background, but it was at somebody's suggestion that there was a book in you, or that your writing ability should be towards this end around teaching entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I think that goes to show that you don't always know how you're going to get there. But the feeling's there and the motive's right, then you just kind of make those connections as you go.
Yes. Talk to me more about risk. I know for me, I have to be willing to take risks in my business, or I'm not going to grow. Do you touch on that in the book? And how important is it? You mentioned that you took a lot of risks. How important is that for somebody on their entrepreneurial journey?
Well, I think you have to take risks. And I identify risks as a lot of uncertainty, but you're going to have room to grow. It's not going to work out right away, but you will get, it's almost science, you will get room to grow. And then I've identified this thing in the book that people are really grabbing onto, and I call it the seed. So you take a risk, let's say it fails, but you look for that little seed that's working, and that seed is kind of the realization of how people actually want what you're building. So you're motivated, you're doing it, you take a risk, it doesn't work out, but then the universe kind of shows you like, oh, this is how people want what I'm building, and let's build from there. Because you don't really know until you try. And you just have to look for that little seed of, oh, this is what it is.
I love it. Rather than focusing on the failure itself.
Right.
And, you know, feeling bummed out about that and the money lost and time lost or whatever, but finding the seed that if this were to work and when it does work, this is the seed that might get us in that direction and putting everything else on a shelf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And you won't find the seed until you take the risk.
Very, very important to mention that. Yeah. Yes. Love that. And you took some risks, right? I remember you sharing that. Can you speak to a couple of the risks that are, I think, worth listening to?
There was a major one in the last couple of years. I was a realtor and I kind of had a normal life and I was a writer, but real estate was first and writing was second. And then I was writing fiction back then.
Oh.
And I did a fiction book run and it went okay. And someone's like, you really need to write for kids. So I took my fiction book to kids and I was writing them educational stuff about like life skills and a little bit about money. And I was like, man, I really like writing this nonfiction that's creative. As soon as that hit, it was summer of 2016. I said, I quit real estate. I sold my car. I legally broke my lease and I moved into just a room in Mesa and I completely started my life over. Once I had that seed, I'm like, this is what I have to bring to the world. It was really scary.
Yeah. So you quit your job.
Yeah.
You sold your car, you said.
Yeah.
And you're holed up on a sofa somewhere or a little spare bedroom somewhere.
Yep. Yep.
And you go to writing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I started to write this. And my friend was going through a similar journey and we kind of teamed up and we kind of couch surfed. And I wrote this book at the library every day. And, kind of rebuilt my life.
Oh,
did rebuild my life.
Gosh.
I know. Scary.
It's scary and fantastic. And how satisfying is it for you then to be on Twitter and admittedly not a big, you know, Twitter following, but have somebody reach out and say, hey, we want to get what are you up to? And then you said, let me send you a book.
Yeah.
And then introduction to another place all across the country or world. That's fascinating.
Yeah. It's just
for you.
Thanks. Yeah. It's just such a fulfilling feeling. And it's just like, you don't, every day you just get to grow as this person. You don't have to worry that those what ifs are gone. Like, what if I would have done that? What if, and it's just a weight off your shoulder. Like, well, I did it and this is what's happening.
Yeah. And are you just trusting that along the way, what's happening next? Or can you speak to a plan, Brandon, about what is next for you?
Well, workshops have really become the core. I started doing, I got three workshops going. I got workshop on how to write a book. I got a workshop on people going through life changes. And then a new one I just started on the first steps of entrepreneurship, which we've got a meeting next week at Galvanize.
Yay, Galvanize. Shout out to my pals at Galvanize. Good.
Yeah.
And so which one, that is the one around the steps of the entrepreneurial journey?
Yep. And then we'll do that there. And then we'll probably shift to a library conference room somewhere in Scottsdale and start doing them on a monthly basis and just get people in that mindset of going from level 0 to 1, 2, and 3 and just get them there, you know.
I love it. Breaking it down so that it's little manageable bites.
Yep.
Very good. Wow. You mentioned that you came from Iowa. And what made you want to come here to Arizona?
I just had a feeling there was a lot of opportunity here. There's something about being from the Midwest and that kind of West, Wild West feeling of freedom and making something happen. And then weather and then kind of, that's where Midwestern people kind of dream of moving.
Yes, I understand that, right? We have the nicer weather. And as a massage therapist, that's what you were doing at the time.
Yeah.
It made sense. It's funny. I hear a lot of people who are in massage therapy or even physical therapy, when they come from other places, you know, on the other side of the country, Arizona seems to be a destination because we are almost year-round great weather and a lot of physical activity and a lot of for, you know, our Scottsdale friends, a lot of opportunities to be taken care of in that way as far as physical therapy and massage therapy, that sort of stuff. How did you get into real estate then?
I used to, in my 20s, I made a magazine around town. And that's where my creative writing journey started to take off. I was making a make-believe lifestyle magazine.
A make-believe lifestyle. So tell me what that is. A make-believe lifestyle magazine.
It was kind of, you know, like the Onion is fake news.
Right.
This is make-believe lifestyle. Because I kind of, coming from the Midwest, I had quite a culture shock. And that's how I kind of dealt with it. Like, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. And I kind of just wrote it all down, and that's where I developed these characters, and it evolved into like a 16-page magazine that I'd sell ad space in. Well, that was my first major risk, and it failed. So I tried to expand it to 10,000. It worked for a little bit, 10,000 in circulation. It worked for a little bit, and then I failed. And then I was, you know, just like I was talking about the seed, I'm like, well, failure, whatever. Let me learn how to sell and market properly. So I went into real estate, and I did learn sales and marketing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a great place to cut your sales chops. Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So those are some pretty epic fails.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love, again, how you brought it back to that seed. There's something here. This isn't quite it. But if I keep putting myself out there, I'm going to find the way to have something that people are really going to want to get a hold of.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how entrepreneurship is nature's kind of recycling. You can be born into not a very good situation or lost or confused, and you can just take those steps. It's going to work out if you keep taking those steps. There's a cool saying I like that, like, when you follow your heart, you'll always be taken care of. And I'm living proof of that. All these risks that, hey, I never went bankrupt. I never starved. I never had to sleep outside. Like, it'll work. Like, something will come into your life and help you.
And do you speak to that in the book? It goes back to your point about the title being scratched out, which is awfully cute. It's really around this self-development journey.
Yeah.
And so is that one of the first steps then out of these three steps?
Yeah. The first chapter is really kind of on emotional health and how to, if you look at an entrepreneur, like a really famous entrepreneur, they have really good psychology. They know how to think. They know how to make decisions. They know how to follow their gut. That is so important, even if you're not going to become an entrepreneur. So the first part of the book is how to just recognize your own thoughts, change your thoughts, and then let your emotions change, and then your behavior will change, and you'll get a new result. I kind of break it down: thoughts, emotions, behavior, results.
Excellent. So that's kind of chapter one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then tell us a little bit more about what the inside looks like from going forward from there.
Well, chapter two is really about taking action and just so breaking down those baby steps. And the big thing I focus on is that you never have to know how. All you have to do is take the first step, and the universe is going to show you the path. Just keep taking that first step. And I really dive into, like, you're following your gut feeling and listening to your subconscious mind and just quieting everything around you and just reaching in and doing it. Because the answers are in you.
Yeah, we do. We have all the answers within us. You're speaking my language. I really love this conversation. And I'm not a great reader. I would like to spend more time reading because when I finally do read, I enjoy the opportunity to learn. I'm more listening through podcasts and that sort of thing. But when you open up that, just even that one page a few moments ago, I'm like, oh, that's a book I can read because it looks like a children's book. I mean, it's colorful and it's dynamic. You've got your characters in there.
Yep.
And it really looks like it would appeal to everybody. Can you tell us a little bit more about the characters?
Yeah, that is Larry the Self-Made Weatherman. And Larry has been with me for over a decade now through a lot of different projects.
Including the Pretend Lifestyle magazine, right?
Yep. That's where Larry took his shape and form. And Larry is kind of got his own personality. He's a risk taker. He became a weatherman on his own because he was so motivated when he was a young guy in Moscow that he put dogs in lie detector tests to try to prove that they weren't meteorologists and that he was. So he had to travel to Africa and all these different things happen. And throughout the book, you have little snippets, like scrapbook snippets from Larry's journey, of kind of this insane risk taking and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So,
oh my gosh.
Kind of makes you feel a little bit better about what you're doing when you see kind of Larry's.
Somebody else is going through it and we don't have to feel. I love this. So I'm fascinated by you. This is really incredible. So I'm holding the book in my hand for the, you know, since this is radio, you can't see me doing this. But even the fonts that you've chosen and these little tiny soundbite snippets underneath each of the titles, why don't I feel like I'm getting anywhere? And there's just a paragraph underneath that before the next one. How can I tell if I'm getting anywhere? It easy little bites to take and run with.
I really focused on tone when I was writing this book because I want, if people are frustrated in their cubicle world, I don't want to come off as a know-it-all. I just want to be your friend through this book. Cool. And I just want to hold your hand.
Clearly you're doing that.
And just, you know, I think so much is over people's heads and just the tone is so ugh. And this is just like, hey, just, I've been there. Larry's been there. You've been there.
Yeah, this is right. As much as I've heard people say, being an entrepreneur is really a journey of self-discovery, right? I mean, you have to look in the mirror and face the hard facts sometimes, whether things are not going in the direction you want to, or you're growing exponentially faster and quicker than you had even dreamt of. There's still, you gotta check yourself through all that. So this is perfect. Again, entrepreneurship for the cool kids, and then the word entrepreneurship crossed out on the title of the book and the book cover, self-discovery, and really this is socially acceptable. Tell us about that name for your company and what is socially acceptable.
There's a little irony there. There's kind of I sometimes growing up as kind of a creative person, I'm frustrated that like education isn't more about how to just go and do stuff. And it's more about memorizing facts. So I'm kind of indirectly saying like, hey, this is what should be socially acceptable. This kind of material, because everyone can relate to this material. Only so many people relate to advanced math. But this, everyone's going to can learn something from this.
Yeah, creatively presented life skills that really speaks to who you are. Yeah, change from who you had to be. Oh, I like that. Change from who you had to be to who you really are. I know so many people in my life that would benefit from reading this book.
That's your copy.
Myself,
you can take it.
I do get to keep it.
That's yours.
Hot dog. And I love, so again, as a former elementary school teacher and assistant principal, I love the size of it because it looks like, and I've never liked the word workbook, but it is workbook size as opposed to, you know, a hardbound book. Oh my gosh. And I love this page. This is a page section two, taking action. Looks like a section changer.
Mm-hmm.
If weather is the earth's way of balancing itself out, action is your way of balancing out your life.
Yep. New action.
Wow. And just one sentence on this little transition page. I'm thrilled to have my own copy now. I'm really excited. So what's ahead for you? And oh, look at this. You've even prepared it as a way to share this book as a gift.
Yeah.
From who, to whom, and I want you to have this because, and there's open space. You are brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
Dan, I would love to give, Dan, our producer, I'm not going to give you this copy, but I will get you a copy if you'd like to have one because this one's mine. Okay. So I was going to ask you a question. Gosh, what was I going to, I got sidetracked giving Dan the book here. Yeah, brilliant. Nothing short of brilliant here. What's ahead for you? This is Business Radio X. This is most of our listeners are business to business. What can we do to help you keep getting the word out?
Well, the core of what I'm doing are workshops and book sales. What I think people are really attached to this Africa thing. If there are business owners out there listening, just hit me up on my blog, brandonmullen.com, and just send me a note and just help me get more in the network of kind of raising money for this Africa venture and people across the world who want kind of this kind of curriculum, and we will ship it to them. Got a GoFundMe campaign going. I just need to keep going then. Yep. Raised $460. So that was enough to get the first batch of 10 to Cameroon. So we want to just keep doing that because, and it doesn't have to just be Africa. It's really, I like Africa because they appreciate it, but it's for anyone who appreciates it.
Right. So the sale of the book is available where? Where can people find the book?
My blog, brandonmullen.com.
Okay.
And then you can go on there and you can look up workshops, buy the book, or donate to the Africa efforts.
And you have the link to the GoFundMe campaign on your blog as well.
Yep.
Wow. I'm excited. Tell us again about the three workshops, the topics, as well as the upcoming locations.
Yeah. So we got a new one. Let's see. October 6th is going to be how to write a book, and it's going to talk about getting in the discipline of writing. And you can look that up on my blog, but it's going to be at the Scottsdale Civic Center Library in one of the conference rooms. We've got another one going called What Do I Want to Do With My Life? And that's this coming Saturday. And it is at the Scottsdale Civic Center Library. And we're going to talk about how to let go of the past and reconnect with the future. So, you know, emotional blocks are a big thing in doing anything. And we're going to talk about how to just let it go, get over it. And the last one is the First Steps of Entrepreneurship. That's going to be September 25th at Galvanize. And then we'll switch to the conference room in Scottsdale Civic Center. But that's going to be about getting to level 1, 2, and 3 of your idea.
Fantastic. Wow. I'm just blown away. And I'm like, okay, I want to get off the air so I can sit down and read from the woman who just said that she doesn't read. But this I can imagine would be something that I'm just going to have a lot of fun with. Oh my gosh, I just opened to a page that looks like a police report.
Yeah, Larry Guns.
How funny. So you're telling the story about Larry, the weatherman, the self-made weatherman. And what happens to Larry that he has to have a police report?
Well, he got kicked out of the Moscow science community, but he still wanted to be a meteorologist. So he gave door-to-door weather forecasts. And he knocked on a bad guy's door and he got locked in a dungeon and some things happened.
My gosh.
And that comes from my own experiences. I sold a book door to door once that I made, my Larry's book, when I used to write fiction. It was the life of Larry.
And
I sold them door to door.
You went door to door to sell a book that you authored.
It was so scary.
Who does that?
I know. It was really scary. You should have seen people's faces because I had this pitch down. I was like, hi, my name's Brandon. I'm a local artist. And this is a book about a self-made weatherman named Larry. And he had to put dogs in lie detector tests to prove they weren't meteorologists. And I flipped to that page and kind of do my little spiel. Their eyes got so wide. They're like, what in the world is this?
Yeah. And who are you? That's fantastic. And so what would you say your biggest lesson was from that, putting yourself out there in that way?
On the other side of fear is something that is going to help you a lot. And you have to be willing to be the person who will do what other people aren't willing to do.
Funny story, I pictured door-to-door sales. I was a teacher, third grade teacher in Kyrene School District. And I just said this to somebody the other day, and I haven't thought of this memory in years, but there was an encyclopedia salesman, so that tells you how old I am, that came to the school and was giving presentations around, you know, encyclopedias. And we just hit it off. And he's like, you know, you'd make a really great encyclopedia salesperson. And I believed him. And I actually considered, I mean, I was well into considering after about 3 or 4 meetings with him that I would leave the classroom and go be an encyclopedia door-to-door salesperson. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I haven't shared that, certainly not on air. But the idea for me, and I don't think I've ever attributed my entrepreneurial spirit to thinking like that, it was that what if? Like, what if I didn't have any boundaries here in the classroom? And what if I could make more money? And what if I could have more of an impact? And the idea of, you know, putting these encyclopedias in the hands of families was appealing to me. I didn't end up doing it. I had plenty of people in my life who said, yeah, that's, you're not going to go do that. But that's fascinating that you wrote that book and you went out and made that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And if just for the business people watching, the acquisition costs of those sales were so low. It was nothing.
Right. It's foot traffic. It's just your time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was nothing.
Fascinating. So this obviously is not your first book. You mentioned that you've written fiction previously, and that's an example. Are those books still available?
Yeah. You can find The Life of Larry Chovacas so far floating around Amazon.
Very fun.
Yeah.
And and that's just the one other book.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Are there more books in the works for you, though?
Well, I've got two that I didn't write or that I wrote that I don't talk about anymore. You know, there's stuff I did, you know. But yeah, I'll definitely keep writing books and programs. And yeah. Larry's got a sidekick named Fifi Furfurfester, and she's going to have her own book.
Fifi Furfurfester.
Yep.
Where is she from? Also from Russia?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, and yeah. And what's her story?
She's a journalist, and she had to go. Her concept, if Larry's is entrepreneurship, hers is kind of self awareness, kind of more self stuff, like understanding yourself. Yeah,
fantastic. Tell us age wise. I know the book really speaks to a variety of people. Probably reading level about age 14 on up, or what would you say?
Yeah, 13 to 14 on up. And I think the content is best for people who are 13 or 14 on up.
Yeah, folks who are ready to be self-assured, being willing to take some risks, that's step out of their comfort zone, and have this idea that maybe as they figure themselves out, they might be able to offer some gifts to the world.
Yeah. Definitely. You don't have to be a big reader to check out the book.
Clearly. Listen, if it's appealing to me, I would imagine that it's something that everybody can wrap their hands around. U.S. Patent Department. Hello, Gerald Lavender. Another great page. I'm patent reviewer with the United States Patent Department. I have reviewed several of your patents. As you know, I've rejected all of them. I am mailing you, not about the patents, but to encourage you to seek mental help. What the heck? That's so fun.
This is one of Larry's mentors, and it just goes to show that people have these ideas and early on they get rejected. You know, Dr. Lavender there has ideas about, like, I think an X-ray machine that detects emotions, which is like, would be, wow, if we could do that in the world, that'd be crazy.
But,
you know?
But Dr. Lavender is like, who the hell do you think you are doing this, right?
Yeah.
And
he
ends up being a mentor?
Yeah, he's one of Larry's buddies, yeah.
Wow. But is this how the relationship starts then?
No.
Uh-huh. Please stop. I'm not going to tell you my name. Oh my gosh. Humor and intellect and wisdom and an opportunity to step out of our comfort zone and stand in the power of who we are is really what I'm sensing that this socially acceptable self-discovery for the cool kids or entrepreneurship for the cool kids is all about.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
What a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
So excited. So one more time for our listening audience, tell folks how they can find you and have an introduction to Larry and all the wisdom that you have to share.
BrandonMullan.com, BRANDON, and then Mullan, MULLAN.com. And then you can find everything there and get involved and help yourself to anything you want.
Awesome. And for our local folks, we've got several events coming up and workshops. So yep. We'll make sure that we post those. I can't recall if you shared that with us. I don't know that you have. So make sure that you get that to me.
Okay.
And when we put this up in post for the podcast version of this live broadcast and interview, we'll make sure that people know how to find you in person as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Brandon. What a treat.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism, Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.